I'd like to once again welcome each of you in the name of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. Welcome those out that are watching on live stream. I'm happy to be able to introduce Gary. How can I say? I know that a lot of times he has the same presence of nerves that I do lots of times when I go to stand up here. But the thing that I do know about Gary also is that he's full of joy to stand up here and to speak God's word. So lift him up in prayer and open up your ears. And let the Holy Spirit work on you as he brings us God's truth. So with that, I'll give you my brother and my friend, Gary Jacobson.
Thank you, Brother Gary. Good evening, everyone. I am glad to be here tonight and being able to share a few thoughts that the Lord has put on my mind. I think it consists of about four of them, so I'm not going to take up too much of your time tonight, but there are some things that I have experienced here in the past in regards to who I am as a person and what I'm doing and where I'm going. And I titled my sermon today, Staying on Course. I've had a great experience on a father-son, daughter-son, son hunt as of lately, and it was truly an eye-opening experience of to be able to be kind of like in a Mr. Mom role and give my wife a break from all the daily chaos that goes along with motherhood and taking care of four children. But in the end, it was truly an eye-opening experience and a wonderful opportunity for me to try to help my kids understand some of the things of nature and some of the things that I wanted to be able to share with them so that they would have a lifelong memory with their dad and probably see him age a few years while he was out there. But we did actually have an enjoyable time. I really did appreciate that. And, you know, one of the reasons why I wanted to do it is because I love my children. I love them dearly. And it is, you know, something special for us to be able to spend that time as a father with our kids and, you know, have a softer, gentler side when necessary. And, you know, in a daily life and a daily grind that we deal with our work schedule and providing for the family, sometimes we don't get to feel all those things and to experience all those things with our kids. But, you know, this was a great 4 days that I had with them and had many of really nice experiences to watch them smile, watch them get sick, be up quite a bit in the night to help them through their sickness as my wife would usually, and I just kind of roll over and pretend like I was sleeping. And, you know, that wasn't the case this time. And it was definitely something that took its toll on me as far as the amount of sleep that I got the first couple nights. But in the end, I believe that everybody enjoyed it. Everybody had a good time. We all had a great experience, and we all learned a lot while we were out there. And again, you know, this is something that I look at it as an adventure, but most of all that it's because I love my family. I love my family in Christ, and those things that we get to do and that we get to share together is something that is more precious to me than gold or silver or any things that are out there that a lot of the natural man seeks after and desires. But, you know, this was a great experience for me again. And one of the things that, you know, we learned when we're out there is to, you know, understand the elements and the environment in which we were living in. And I wanted to make sure that, you know, everything that we were doing was accordingly to the rules and to the regulations. And it seems like there's a lot more involved in those types of situations as it goes with hunting and doing things out there in the great outdoors now with the preserving of the forest and all that good stuff. There's certain places that you can be in that you can't be, and I'm thankful that, you know, I learned a lot from my brother Isaac and his knowledge base of being able to dive in and to, get into the details of where we can go and where we can't go. And one of those things that we brought back, what we had when we were up there is, I'm sure a lot of people have seen this, it's a map of the Coconino Forest where you can drive, and man, it gets into pretty some pretty serious details as far as the boundaries, how far you got to be from the road to be able to camp, and where you can go and where you can't go. And you know, there's a lot that you can learn in a little book like this, and you could spend hours going through it and combing through it and trying to figure everything out. But you know, we made a good time out of everything that we had to keep in check, and safety wise you know, we learned some experiences there. But overall, you know, all the things that I believe that we experienced, it was truly one of those things. It was opportunity for us to be able to show our kids that we love them and that we're doing it to help them grow and to understand there are certain things in life that, you know, we have to do to be able to provide for them and show them the way and to stay on course on those things that we want to do right, not for only our safety as individuals, but also in our spiritual walk as well. And so I wanted to start with a verse out of Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to read two verses there, and this is really, you know, the crux of this sermon here, and I'll kind of go into a little bit more depth and kind of share some experiences that I had, not only just with this hunt that we went on. I'm sure Brother Andy had shared some of those experiences when he came back the Sunday and had to preach. He was gracious enough to come up there for the day and a half and spend time with the kids as well, and to get in there and get dirty and try to find something for us to be able to bring home to provide for our families. So in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior." And, you know, walking in love, that is something that, you know, I really want to start looking at where I'm at in life and doing those things that the Lord calls me to do. And I hope that each and every one of you are thinking along those same lines, where you're at in your life, those things that you can do. And when you do those things, that your heart is in the right place. And that's especially important, is that our heart's in the right place when we do these things. We're not doing it just to prove somebody wrong. We're not saying things just to belittle somebody, but we're trying to nurture someone. We're trying to give them the direction that they need so that they're successful, as our brother was speaking this morning, in their lives, and so that we can nurture them and raise them, and that we can show them the right path in which God gave his son to show us, and that we can have those experiences in our life with our children, with our brothers and sisters, to be able to help us grow and to understand the commandments of the gospel and those things that we should be doing. You know, with that comes trial and error is what I like to call it, and I sometimes call it on-the-job training. I'll be talking about that in a little while, but, you know, trial and error in our lives. You know, sometimes we have ambition to take things upon ourselves and to try to experience things because we think that we have the full knowledge of how things should be done or what we should be doing. But at the same time, you know, there might have been somebody that has walked that path prior to us and had that experience and is willing to share. So we got to open up our hearts and our minds to those people to be able to gain that knowledge to do those things which are right, that we won't fall and trip and stumble and be taken down from those things that can cause us to be led astray towards the Lord. And so I wanted to read a few verses here. In 3 Nephi, on page 675, I wanted to read just five verses. It's Nephi 13, verses 6 through 11. On page 675, if you will turn there with me, if you like to follow along. And I'm going to read verses 6 through 11. And this is Jesus Christ speaking. And it says, "And verily I say unto you, whatsoever things ye shall ask the Father in my name, it shall be given unto you. Therefore ask, and ye shall receive. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For he that asketh, receiveth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And now, behold, my joy is great, even unto fullness, because of you, and also this generation, yea, and even the Father rejoiceth, and also all the holy angels, because of you and this generation, for none of them are lost, Behold, I would that you should understand, for I mean them which are now alive of this generation, and none of them are lost, and in them I have fullness of joy. But behold, it sorroweth me because of the fourth generation from this generation, that they are led away captive by him, even as was the son of perdition. For they will sell me for silver and for gold, and for that which moth doth corrupt, and which thieves can break through and steal. And in that day will I visit them, even in turning their works upon their own heads. And it came to pass that when Jesus had ended these sayings, he saith unto disciples, Enter ye into the strait gate, for strait is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few be there that find it. But wide is the gate, and broad is the way which leads to death, and many there be that can travel therein, until the night cometh, wherein no man can work. And you know, that's what I wanted to touch bases on here, is that you know, when we're going through life, we have the Lord requesting for us to ask him for that guidance. We know, and we've preached over the pulpit, that the Lord has given us the tools to be able to understand his gospel and to follow after them. But still, you know, I still need to be able to gain knowledge in those things which I must know, and how to interpret them could be very difficult. But again, you know, just like with this map, you know, I don't want to go and open it up. I'll just kind of open it up a long ways. But, you know, it opens up that high and about this wide. But, you know, for me to be able to understand this, I have to take time, and I have to be making myself familiar with all the items that are in it. You know, there's a legend that tells you certain roads that you can drive on, certain roads that you can't, and it tells you where you can camp, where you cannot camp, what type of vehicles, the width of the vehicles, and all the little things that you need to know to be able to make it through without getting in trouble in this area, which is 6A and 5B South. It's right up there by Mormon Lake. It's such a beautiful area. I really appreciated the fact that, you know, I have family and friends that are knowledgeable in this stuff, and it helps me, you know, and I look at it as if, you know, I don't have a lot of experience in maps, but at the same time, I can gain a lot from those that are around me to learn how to navigate through a territory or a certain place. Because it's so funny that, you know, even though we do have a map that's on paper, once you get out into the wilderness and into God's country, where there's not a lot of roads, there's not any signs, there's not any street lights, it could kind of start to work on you emotionally, because before you know it, you could be turned around as you're chasing after animals up and down mountains, getting tired, getting weary, the sun's going down. There's all these different variables that happen when you're out there. And one of the things that I appreciated is that, you know, no matter where we were at, we knew how to get back to the camp. And that's kind of the same thing in our lives. Do we know where we're at so we can always come back to Christ? Are we always having Christ along with us, helping us through that journey, letting us know the roads that we should be traveling down, those places that we should be going, seeing the beautiful things that he has to show us? Or are we just kind of focused on one thing in particular and going after that and having our minds so focused on that that before we know it, we're getting turned around, we're getting lost, we don't know where we're at, and we don't know how to get back? And that's one of the things, as staying the course is really important for us in our lives. So we stay focused on those things that the Lord has for us in our lives. We know where we're at. We know what's ahead of us. We know how to tackle it. We can rely upon each other to be able to receive the knowledge to accomplish those things and to learn from those things and those experiences. This has been a great adventure for me. We had a couple of scenarios where they were comical in a roundabout sort of way. We decided the first morning to get up. It was Friday the 13th. Go figure, for elk hunting, that's probably not so good. I'm not a superstitious man, but anyways, it was comical to me, because we spent probably most of the day. We got up at 4:30 in the morning, and we traveled out. We went out onto the Arizona Trail. We had a couple opportunities to be able to get after some of the game out there, and that didn't pan out. And we went over a few mountains, and then we came back, and as we were coming back, You know, Patricia was at the camp with my three younger kids, and they all come running out after us. We're all beat down. I think Caleb's like dragging his foot because he's so tired, and we're all worn out, and it was a hot day. And they come running up to us, and they're like, guys, you aren't going to believe it. There was 50 elk that just ran right outside of our camp, not even 100 yards away, and there was a big giant bull pushing them. And we spent this whole day out and about looking for elk, and there was 50 of them that just ran by. And I just kind of, at first, I know my kids, I was like, yeah, they're trying to pull one over on their old man here. But that wasn't the case, and it actually happened. And it was kind of one of those eye-opening experiences that, you know, even sometimes when we go out and we try so hard to do something that, you know, we could have just sat back and relaxed, had a nice cup of coffee, and the Lord would have provided. And that would have been fantastic, but, you know, it didn't pan out like that. And it's sometimes life happens like that. Some of those experiences that we have and opportunities pass us by, but we learn from that and we grow from that. And we try to go after those things that the Lord will show us and keep our minds focused on those things. And so I wanted to read here again in verse 8. It says, behold, I would that you should understand, for I mean them which are now alive of this generation, and none of them are lost, and in them I have fullness of joy. So Christ wanted them that they should understand. He wanted to give them an understanding of what he was trying to say, what he was trying to do. And so, you know, in this brief few verses, there is a lot of information there for us to get an understanding of what some of the Lord's commandments are, you know, what we should be doing, what we shouldn't be doing, how we should do it. But in all things, we should be asking the Lord for that. And with that understanding is something that we get once we apply ourselves and we experience that is the wisdom that comes along with that. And wisdom has become something that I really look at, and you know, I used to be the type of person that really found a joke, I guess you would say, in everything that I was doing. And it seems like now, you know, I still joke around and I do a lot of things like that, but I'm trying to experience life in a different way to where I get a better understanding of it. And I think as we listen to people and our ears are open to them, things aren't so funny anymore. Our brother Jay had preached a sermon about that as of here recently. And it's more of, you know, I want to experience life as the Lord wants me to see it. And I know that through the Lord, not everything is a joke to him. And so there's certain opportunities that we have in our lives to be able to understand where other people are coming from, different cultures, different backgrounds, different upbringings, and we need to take that into consideration and be that loving person that the Lord calls us to do. Be able to have understanding of those things, how people come together in the body of Christ and form this body, which can be very strong, can be very fruitful for the Lord and to provide those things for the church. And it's really neat. And again, you know, I look at the position I am in at work, and, you know, I look at the wisdom and the knowledge that I've had and how much I've grown over the past few years. I don't want to sit here and talk to about myself, and I'm not putting myself on a soapbox. But honestly, you know, I've grown as a person because I listen to those that are around me. I try to apply those things, I call it constructive criticism. And, you know, people have opinions and people come from different places and see different things, you know, and gather a lot of knowledge as they go along. And in the world and the business in which I work in, you know, a lot of people in the fleet background come from different places where they have worked, different dealerships, different shops, and different construction sites. And I try to take all that in and to provide the best product that I can, place of work, safe-wise, work-wise, the tools that they need for those that are there. And so as a leader in that, I try to stay the course to be able to show everyone that I'm in it with them. My iron is in the fire with them. You know, I feel the heat when it gets stressful, but as we grow and as we understand and as we listen, you know, the Lord gives us those really, really neat traits, you know, the fruits of the Spirit to be able to handle those situations. And there's many opportunities that we have in our lives to be able to apply it. And again, you know, in this situation with hunting, it was a great opportunity for me to exercise some of those other things that I normally wouldn't use on a daily basis. Like, you know, treating my kids when they were sick. Yeah, I'm there to be able to assist Alicia when they are sick at times and at home, but for the most part, she handles a lot of that. And boy, what an eye-opener that is to be able to deal with two kids that are sick, that are getting up in the middle of the night, and you gotta resituate their sleeping bags, and one has to, you know, take care of some business, and on and on and on. And it was really kind of, I felt very thin a couple of the days, and still, I think that through all that, I've learned a lot. I've learned how to handle those situations better. I prayed about it. I relied upon the Lord to give me strength, and you know, I was waiting for the night to wake up with my body full of cramps, because that's usually what happens, and I was blessed. I was very blessed because I didn't have to go through that experience as well. But I learned a lot from it. I gained a lot of wisdom in it. And I wanted to read, oh boy, this is out of Proverbs, and I forgot to put the chapter on it. I think it was 34 or 36. Boy, I'm going to read the verses, but it's in Proverbs. Is that it right there? Yes, it is. Okay, good. I found it. Wow, that was great. Proverbs chapter 4, and I'm going to read from verse 7. This is a little bit of a long reading, but I really appreciate this reading here. I'm going to start in 7 and read through the end of the chapter. It says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, I have led thee in the right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of the wickedness, and drink the wine of the violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light, that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a forward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." And I really appreciate that, pretty much that whole chapter there, because there's a wealth of information there on wisdom and how precious it is in our lives and how we should be applying it in our lives. You know, we have to ponder on those things, the path in which we're walking. We have to take time to look at the map, to understand what direction we're going. There was a neat, well, you guys aren't going to be able to see it, but Brother Jerry was saying how much he, well, IT challenged, I think is what you were saying. But we were kind of IT challenged, Patricia and I, when we were out there in Flagstaff trying to get an app for our phones, because it was a really neat app. It was basically this giant map on the phone, and what was really neat about it is that you can actually pinpoint your location to where you're at any given time, so you can't get lost. And it actually had a built-in compass, so you could kind of, you know, no matter if you're on top of a mountain or in a valley, you could find your way back to that vehicle. And it really came in handy, and we appreciated that. And Brother Isaac had given us that capability to get that on our phones. And what's really neat about that, and how I would like to apply it here, is that You know, wouldn't that be neat in our lives that we can pinpoint a location, a time in our lives that we were at that was good, whether it was a good or bad situation, that we can sit there and kind of like a diary, just on our phone, take notes of it, and have an understanding that, you know, in the future, this is a point in our lives that was really meaningful to us, whether it was a bad experience that we learned a lot from. Oh, thank you. Did I really? Am I, yeah? Okay. Oh, thanks, Mom. See, that's my wonderful wife just looking out for me. But it is. It's really something I was thinking about, how if we could apply something like this in our life, that would be such a neat thing because, you know, if we can capture the moment, so to speak, and then share that down the road with those that come across the same path, what a neat feature that would be for us to be able to do. You know, because we get so caught up in life and some of those experiences that we have, we can forget about them. We can forget to apply them at the right time. A lot of times when we're in a situation, we walk away from it. And we usually say, you know, I should have said this, this, and this to that person. Well, the opportunity was gone. You know, there's a lot of times in my life that I experienced that. But most of all, you know, for our children, those that were around, these types of experiences that we have and how we can share it and gain wisdom from that, what a wonderful thing it is that we have that by sharing testimonies and coming to services and being able to pray for one another and lifting people up that, you know, I might not know personally, but I know they're part of the church and they're part of the body of Christ. And every part of the body of Christ is very important. And we have to make sure that we're all looking out for each other. So in Proverbs 22:6, it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And that's something that as we grow and we take on those responsibilities as a father and a mother, you know, it's really important that we train them up accordingly to the gospel so that we can see the fruits of their labor as they grow and they enter into the private sector of the world, into the business side of the world, and to be able to be that light for Christ. I wanted to give an example of that. I had the opportunity to, when Uncle Joel showed up, to take my son down the mountain, so to speak. We went to the top of this mountain, and it was kind of getting late in the morning where the sun was up pretty good, and we figured that the elk wouldn't be out and about moving around. They kind of bed down at that time when it starts getting warm. So Patricia and I took Connor with me in my vehicle, and Eric and Brooke rode along with Patricia and their vehicle down the mountain as Joel, Isaac, and the boys went down the face of this mountain to be able to see if they can stir up any elk and get after them. And as we got in the vehicle, Connor asked, because usually I might let him drive, you know, every once in a while when I'm not feeling up to it. But it's usually over to Grammy's house around the corner. And I'll put him on my lap and I'll let him drive and grab the wheel. And he asked if he could drive down this mountain. I was like, oh boy. I was like, yeah, okay, not a problem, son. So let's go ahead and get you in here. And, you know, it was really a pretty good incline, probably about 6% grade with a lot of rocks in it. And, you know, it's steep and there's a pretty sharp edge at certain places. There's trees that are close to the side of the road. So there's a lot of obstacles on the road down the mountain. You know, it was really a good thing because you could tell he was excited. He was all, his back was straight up and down, and he had his hands on the wheel. And he, for some reason, and I knew it was because he was getting confident in it, he kept looking down to see if my hand was on the steering wheel, because down below, I was just kind of holding it and guiding along so he wouldn't get crazy and get us off the mountain. But overall, you know, as we were going down this mountain road with these big rocks and stuff, you know, I was telling him, hey, you need to be careful. Don't let the center of the vehicle go over this big rock. You need to go around it because it could cause damage to the vehicle. You know, don't run over that pointy rock there. Watch out for that tree. Watch out for that squirrel. Watch out for that car. And on and on and on. But you could kind of tell he was getting comfortable with it because there came a point to where I can actually let go of the wheel. You know, at first, when I would tell him to watch out for that rock, he'd grab the wheel and turn it as hard as and fast as he could. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. But as I taught him, he got a better understanding of how to control the vehicle. And the same, I looked at that in the same perspective of, You know, as we're young in our lives, we really want to get after it and just go and make all these jerky and fast movements. We don't really know how to control things, but we're going to do it anyway. But if we have somebody there nurturing us, you know, the path is a lot easier. There's a better understanding of what you have and how you can control your life when you're listening to others that are around you, helping you and guiding you in the way. And that's what the Lord did. He sent His Son to be able to help us and to guide us in the way. He gave us the truth of the gospel. He gave us the map to be able to guide us and direct us as we go through this path, this road in our life. And at times it could be rough. It could be difficult. We could have struggles in it. We can have a lot of things that are going around on, and we can question, you know, why am I here at this point right now? But if we put our faith and our trust in God, you know, as He brings us through all that, we can look at our lives as we pinpointed it and said, oh yeah, okay, I see the blessings in that. I've learned a lot from that. I've gained a wealth of wisdom and knowledge from that, and then we can share that with others. Okay, so I'm going to move on. I told you guys I wasn't going to try to keep you long. I'm going to go into Matthew chapter 16, and I'm going to read two verses. I'm going to read verses 24 and 27. It says, "Then Jesus said unto His disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall will so up oh, slow down Gary. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in glory of His Father with His angels, and then shall the reward He shall reward every man according to his works." And that's what I want us to look at is in our life. What are we looking at? What are we doing? What are our works for the Lord? Are we following after Him? Are we picking up our cross daily? You know, there's days that I struggle with that, and a lot of times I'm thinking about myself and what I got to do for myself, but really, slow down. Take a deep breath. Understand that, you know, there's certain things that we need to take in our surroundings. Just like if we're out in the wilderness, you know, remember those places that you've been. Remember those mountains that you climbed. Remember that rocky road that you traveled down. See how you can apply that in your life to share with others, to help them through that. And that's one way that we can help or pick up our cross daily, is by helping others, being charitable in that aspect. Okay? So, it says in 3 Nephi, on page 638, I'm going to read out of chapter 5, verses 89 through 92, on page 638. It says, "And behold, it is written also that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But behold, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of the Father which is in heaven, for He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good. Therefore, those things which were of old time, which were under the law, in me are fulfilled. Old things are done away, and all things have become new. Therefore, I would that you should be perfect, even as I, or your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." Man, that's a really neat couple verses there that the Lord gives us, because what are we striving for in our lives? This is what we should be striving for. You know, we fall far from being perfect, but if we're learning and if we're praying, if we're asking for forgiveness, if we're being humble, if we have a broken heart and a contrite spirit, those are the things that help us get there. Those are the things that we can learn and that we can establish and understand the direction in which we need to go. That's something that we can look at as a roadmap to be able to understand that this is the direction I need to go. The Lord provides us that, not only through His gospel, but also with the Spirit. The Lord gives us His Spirit so we can have better understanding. so that we can stop and we can listen to that still small voice in our lives to be able to do those things that the Lord calls us to do. This world in which we live in could be so full of chaos and so full of stress that we start to get clouded on those things that the Lord wants us to see. And we have to be sure that, you know, each and every day we're picking up our cross. We're having that strength that the Lord gives us to be able to endure to the end. That we will listen to Him, that we will understand those things, that we will apply those things, that we will share those things with each other to be able to get us and keep us on that straight and narrow path so we can spend eternity with our Lord and our Savior. I'm going to read in Psalms chapter 16, two verses. It says in verses 7 and 8 of Psalm 16, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. And I was talking to Betty before the service, and Johnny Cash actually sings a song. It was written by another individual, Larry something. But that song, I Shall Not Be Moved, that's one of my favorite songs. And it's because, you know, the Lord is with us. He abides with us. He gives us that strength that we need in this wilderness in which we live. And if we always put the Lord first in our lives, how truly blessed we will be. He will help us. He will strengthen us. And He will provide for us. He will take care of us temporarily. He'll take care of us spiritually. He'll give us all those things that we need or which we lack thereof. If we ask Him, we approach Him, we knock, He will open up the door. And you know, and sometimes in life, things don't always work out the way that our human desire wants it to. And that's one of the things I wanted to share with you. I know that I had stood up and asked for prayers in regards to a position that I was putting in for work. And, you know, I was kind of torn between being excited or looking at the future and the opportunities that it would give me to be somebody more important. And I really had a good experience with that, even though the outcome wasn't according to what the managers that I work with. I thought it was going to come out a different way. But regardless, you know, I thought things were going to turn out different. And I did not get the position, but it was a good experience for me. And I see the blessing in that, especially when some of my coworkers come up to me and say, hey, man, you really didn't want that position, let me tell you. And you know, I'm thankful for that. But overall, you know, maybe I wasn't prepared for that position at this time. Maybe, you know, my time wasn't ready. Maybe the Lord has something different for me at this time. And, you know, I was talking to a couple brothers and, you know, my hours would have changed. I told my wife that, you know, this is kind of like as I was speaking earlier, it would have been like on the job training. There was a lot to learn. It was to be able to handle the budget for the facilities and services department, the 12 different sections. I would oversee the budget for that. And it was a large amount of money. And being able to get in there and to immerse myself into that field, I would have been there for long hours. I probably would have been going early, staying late. And I don't know what that, you know, would have done for my family and I. It could have been a very big burden. But regardless, you know, I look at it and I felt that I put it all out there on the table. And I did what I thought was the Christian thing to do and express my opinions and to give my answers, to make sure that I had a clear understanding of what the job duties and skills were, and to share that I had the competency to do it. But overall, in the end, it was disclosed to me that I didn't fit the position, which is okay, because you know I really love what I'm doing. I get to be with my family. I get to avoid all the traffic, which is really nice. But at the same time, you know, maybe this is something that the Lord didn't want me to do because it was going to take me further away from Him. And I appreciate the fact that, you know, I had the opportunity and the experience, but at the same time, I think that the Lord was looking out for me. I think that maybe in the future, maybe a new opportunity will present itself. And I really, you know, I appreciate the capabilities that the Lord has given me up to this time. He has given me a lot of wisdom and knowledge and the opportunity to be able to do His work, to labor for Him in the field, to go places that I never thought I would be able to go, and be able to provide for my family, to share great experiences, not only with them in the wilderness, but with my brothers and sisters as well, whether it's just sharing experiences that we have in common and growing closer to my brothers and sisters and being able to enjoy the day in which we live as a Christian. And that's what I would encourage each and every one of you to do, is to really look at the time that you have and appreciate it, and look at the blessings in life that the Lord provides to us, even though life might not be going exactly in according that we thought we would like it to go. So stay the course, do those things that the Lord calls you to do. Always make sure you're checking your map to see where you're at so you don't get lost in this world, and have an understanding of where it is that you want to go. But most of all, make sure that you put the Lord first in your life so He can be there and you can be close to Him on that journey. So God bless each and every one of you. I actually did a short sermon for once. So I appreciate your time, and may God bless each and every one of you and those that are live streaming. Thank you.